Luke 24. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. So Jesus here is saying that there's all these predictions in the Old Testament of what the Messiah would do, what he would say, what would be done to him, what they would say about him, and Jesus saying, "I am the fulfillment of all these prophecies." So we're going to look at just a few of these prophecies this morning very briefly. And you noticed in our text that Jesus said that these are contained also in the book of Psalms. So I'm going to refer to several psalms here. The first one I want to look at is Psalm 22, which was kind of the go-to psalm when it comes to messianic prophecies. But keep this in mind, too, that the psalms are there for us so that we can pray them, so that we can sing them. And the psalms were written, most of them, many of them, were written by David because of things that he experienced. But what makes these psalms messianic is that what is written in these psalms goes above and beyond what you and I experienced. They go above and beyond even what David experienced. In other words, they're pointing to somebody other than David. They're pointing to David's greater son, the coming Messiah king. So first of all, a few verses from Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? All who see me mock me. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him. They have pierced my hands and feet. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Another similar psalm is 38, a few verses from there. I am utterly bowed down and prostrate, for my sides are filled with burning. I am feeble and crushed. I groan because of the tumult of my heart. My strength fails me. My friends and companions stand aloof. My nearest kin stand far off. Those who seek my life lay their snares. Those who seek my hurt speak of ruin. My foes are vigorous. They are mighty, and many are those who hate me wrongfully. Those who render me evil for good accuse me because I follow after good. Again, such psalms go above and beyond what you and I experience, or even what David experienced, because they are, again, pointing ahead to David's greater son, the coming Messiah. And we could also say, therefore, that these psalms were actually written, or they originate from the Messiah King, spoken through the mouth of David, but applying to this Messiah King. So it is the Messiah King who actually penned these words. I want to point out, though, a problem with Psalm 38, because we might think when we read the whole psalm, some of these verses don't apply to the Messiah King. So let me read some of those verses that seem not to apply to this coming Messiah King. Again, Psalm 38, there is no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head. Like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and fester because of my sinful folly. So do these somehow also apply to the coming Messiah King? Would he have said these verses? And the answer is yes. And we can say that because of another, what I consider to be the most amazing prophecy of the Messiah in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 53, a few verses from that chapter. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement that for our peace was upon him. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. He shall bear their iniquities. He poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sin of many. So this amazing chapter is speaking of the vicarious suffering and death. It's speaking of a substitutionary suffering and death. It's talking about a changing or switching of places. So let me go back now to Psalm 38. I'm going to read these verses to you again, but I'm going to change some of the pronouns so you get the point that's being made here. Psalm 38 again. There is no health in my bones because of their sin, for their iniquities have gone over my head. My wounds stink and fester because of their sinful folly. Their sins? There's a transfer taking place here. A very real and personal transfer. Their sins? No. He's saying, they are now my sins. Their iniquities? No, they are now my iniquities. Their sinful folly? No, it has become my sinful folly. And this is why there is complete and perfect forgiveness of sins. I want to go back to Isaiah 53 and mention one thing about this most amazing prophecy in the Old Testament. And this is, keep in mind, this was written 700 years before Jesus of Nazareth appeared on the scene. And this is amazing, but it's also very sad. Very sad. You know, we have our lectionaries. You turn to page 199 in our hymnary and you see these lectionaries. And in other words, we have readings for every Sunday of the church year. And Isaiah 53 is always included. Good Friday, Isaiah 53, Isaiah 53, Isaiah 53. But there is one lectionary where Isaiah 53 is not found at all for the past at least several hundred years. And this is sad. Isaiah 53 is not found in the lectionary of the Jewish synagogues. You know, I've tried to research this carefully. I checked with our Old Testament scholar at the seminary. I checked with another Hebrew scholar. Isaiah 53 is not found in the Jewish synagogue lectionaries. They have other passages from Isaiah, but not Isaiah 53. Why? Well, if you don't want to believe that this Jew, Jesus of Nazareth, is the Messiah, if you don't want others to believe that Jesus the Jew is the Messiah, the Son of God who has taken away the sins of the world, then you want to hide this most amazing chapter, which is really an amazing proof that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, who has taken away the sins of the world. Jesus in our text, though, also says, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead." So where is this resurrection of Christ found in the Old Testament? Well, it's found at the end of Isaiah 53. And it's also found in about 20 different places in the book of Psalms itself. But the clearest example of a prophecy of the resurrection of the Messiah is found in Psalm chapter 16, which both Peter and Paul use when they go out and evangelize and preach. So here's what Psalm 16 says. And again, keep in mind, this psalm is written by David, pointing ahead to his greater son. Even my flesh will dwell securely, because you will not abandon my life to the grave. You will not let your Holy One see decay. Again, pointing ahead to David's greater son. And it was this that happened to that Jew Jesus of Nazareth. And it was witnessed, as we heard yesterday, by many. Witnessed by Mary Magdalene, and then by the other women when they left the tomb. Witnessed by the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Witnessed by Peter. Witnessed by all of the disciples, minus Thomas the first time. And then a week later by all the disciples again, plus Thomas. And then at least six other appearances over a period of 40 days. And so the Jews could have looked around back then and asked, and some of them did, what Jew, as prophesied, is of the line of David? What Jew, as prophesied, was born in Bethlehem? What Jew, as prophesied, not only claimed to be the Son of David, but also the Son of God? What Jew, as prophesied, went around performing all these amazing miracles? What Jew, as prophesied, suffered and died an excruciating death and bore the sins of the world? What Jew, as prophesied, did not see decay, but rose from the dead? What is predicted of the Messiah is fulfilled in one person and one person only, Jesus of Nazareth. And what does this mean? That repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, and here in chapel, and to you today. And such a faith as this in the crucified and risen Jesus is to be believed and taught and confessed by you and me. For such a faith as this forgives our sins. For such a faith as this brings us through all those things that the world and Satan will throw at us. For such a faith as this will finally bring us to Jesus himself in heaven. Please rise. And let us very simply but profoundly confess our faith. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. We pray. Lord, grant us such a faith as this, that will not, a faith that shines more bright and clear when tempests rage without, that when in danger knows no fear, in darkness feels no doubt, that bears unmoved the world's dread frown, nor heeds its scornful smile, that seas of trouble cannot drown, nor Satan's arts beguile. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.